like what the rise of female power has done to what we're talking about right at the beginning, which is how you, the degree to which you can have a discussion of anything you like.
Sure.
Because men and women differ in that way. Women are much more concerned that people aren't offended, that everyone feels validated, that no one's, even if you look at how good boys and girls play games.
Yeah, they seek consensus.
Right, they seek consensus. Yes. Boys will play a competitive game and someone wins. Yeah. Girls will play a game, well, yeah, everyone, okay, you know, everyone okay, everyone fits in.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that they take over and have taken over the universities, particularly things like history departments.
Of course.
And then what do they turn it into? It's a giant nursery school, basically, yeah. Which is what they have evolved to really be doing at that kind of age, which is running a nursery. So what does this do to society, do you think? I mean, your lifetime, we've gone from a situation where basically all the judges are men, most of the academics are men, to lots of women judges now and lots and lots of women academics. I mean, what does this do to a country?
Well, it enervates a country and it prevents new ideas from coming out, because when men have a discourse together, it's a process, it's a dialectical process. One man will put forward an idea, it's a thesis, and then someone else, his male opponent, comes up with an antithesis, and they will argue together, furiously defending their positions, each of them, and from that can emerge a synthesis, a new idea which incorporates the best of both the thesis and the antithesis. That's a dialectical process. That doesn't happen if you're seeking consensus. If you have two women, rather than that opposition, they will be looking from the start for compromise. They'll be looking for ways that they can avoid that confrontation. You know, if you see two men arguing a point, it can become quite furious. Men will raise their voices and they won't give an inch. They're each forcing to get their opinion, their view taken as you know, to get the other person to concede. It's almost like a fight. An intellectual fight. You don't get that with women, which means that new ideas tend not to be generated.
And there is this concern with them about offence and and feelings.
That's right.
And this concept, I hate this concept, of something being mean.
Yeah.
And not mean in the sense that it meant in the 16th century, poor. Mean in this new sense, manipulative sense of unkind.
Yes.
And you know, I didn't know about this, but when they brought women into Oxford University, which they did in, it might have been the late 1890s or about 1900, and they brought them in for a while, and then there was this backlash against it, where the students eventually insisted that no more than one in seven of the undergraduates should be women. And the justification for this was them saying, well, it's ruining the collegiate atmosphere. It's ruining the ability. And by that, they didn't mean collegiate as in everyone getting along.
No.
But it's ruining this situation where in the old days, in our seminars or whatever, we could discuss rigorously all points of view. And now we can't do that because, and they had noticed it, because these girls tend to get upset and whatever. It happened to me the other day at Oxford University. I was there, I was interviewing these students, I was asking them about, should you be allowed to debate controversial issues? They were thoughtfully talking about it. Should you be allowed to debate this issue? I meant, talk about race, you see. Mm. And then everything was fine, except there was one female who reacted. Oh, well, I'm not comfortable with this. This is eugenics. And then another female came along. Oh, what are you, a eugenicist? And then it just got out of control. And eventually security was called. eventually the librarian came out. She was wearing a rainbow thing and wanted to talk to me, and I said, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm talking to the camera. And then they called security, and then these two burly security guards stood there, and I asked them, what's going on? Oh, have I done anything against the law? No. Have I done anything wrong? No. But complaints have been made. And one of the things I'd done as part of it was I'd just to illustrate a point about reasonable intelligence, I said, can I measure your skull with these calipers? Because they used to do that in the old days, you see. And they were like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, quite a big head. That's how it works. 0.3 correlation. And then the security guard said, yeah, the thing is, three people have complained that someone was outside measuring people's skulls. And this has made them feel, you know, unsafe. And it broke down just because of one or two women.
Yes. However, you must have known that when you did that this was going to end badly, I would have thought.
I thought it might.
You thought it might?
I thought it might. I thought it might. But I didn't think it would. But it wasn't the caliber measuring that actually provoked them originally. It wasn't that. It was the question. That was an extra thing. That was the excuse she used to go and complain, because she thought that was the most dramatic thing I was doing, I guess. But it was that I suggested to her basically that opinions she didn't agree with for emotional reasons, can they be discussed here? And then I gave that example, and then that said to her, oh, you're not part of my gang. And I feel,
what college was this?
And this was outside the Radcliffe, outside the Bodleian Library.
Okay.
Yeah. The girl in question was at St. Anne's College. But yeah. And men, no problem. Most women, I mean, it's just this, all it takes, that's the thing. It's an outlier. Women as a group, you get lots of women, very intelligent and very able to discuss things and debate things. But there is this average that's a bit different. What that means is, at the extreme, you have a problem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before you go, I must tell you that tickets for my Liverpool meetup and for my London Christmas dinner are almost sold out. So don't miss out on the opportunity to learn about the Neo-Byzantium that we are building. Click on the link below to reserve your place there now. Are you ready for the future of the West?